I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture this morning comes from John 6, verses 1 through 21. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. Pardon me. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the Sea of Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. May God add his blessings to this reading.
Thank you, Jean. It's an interesting story, and if you have read the other Gospels, maybe you took the time to compare this story to the stories in the other 3 Gospels. Each of our Gospel writers had a message, and that message was for their particular community. So what they did is they took the stories of Jesus, and they wrote around that the message that they had for their particular community. And so what I'd like for you to do today as we go through this is to see what you think the real message is to John's community about this event. Once again, we see a large crowd. You remember the last few weeks, a large crowd is following Jesus. In fact, we're told that they kept following him. They kept following him. So you know the disciples were freaked out. These are fishermen. They're not used to having large crowds follow them, right? I mean, they go out in a boat and there's nobody around. They're out there all day. This is a whole new deal for them to have crowds following them. And seeing the crowd come toward them, Jesus asked Philip. Keep in mind, it is Jesus asking Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these folks to eat? Where do we get that?" And then later we're told it was to test Philip. Now, what was the test? What do you think that test is? Now, think about it. People are following you everywhere you go, even out in the middle of nowhere. Why would you feel responsible to feed them? If you walk out this door and you go out, oh, let's just put you out there on state line, God help you, and a crowd follows you out there, are you going to say, "Oh, I guess I have to feed them"? Or are you going to say, "That's on them"? But Jesus felt the need to feed these people. And the disciples are kind of like, really? I mean, they chose to follow us. We're not responsible. But Jesus tests Philip and he says, okay, where are we going to get food to feed them? And we see what happens ultimately in the story. This is really quite striking that Jesus would feel responsible for this. On top of this, there's that test. And again, I ask you, what is that test? What do you think he's testing Philip for? Now, if Philip, off the top of his head, said, oh, I know, you can do a miracle, we'd all be shocked. I mean, it's not like Philip could have said, let's go to McDonald's and go to the dollar menu. Maybe we can get them something. They're out in the middle of nowhere. So Philip, this is a test any of us would fail. Someone looks at us and says, we need to feed 5,000 people. And you're out in the desert. And you go, yeah. And? Well, because we have the advantage of knowing the story, naturally we'll say it was a test of faith in Jesus, right? Jesus was testing Philip, do you think I can do this? That'd be a good answer. The question that naturally follows is, why did John tell the story this way? A story of 5,000 people. So let me say that again. A story of 5,000 people being fed. Well, let's see. We'll go back to, let's say 2 Kings 4th chapter, verses 42 through 44. And I want you to listen. Think about this. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing food from the first fruits to the man of God, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elisha said, give it to the people and let them eat. But his servant said, how can I set this before 100 people? So he repeated, give it to the people and let them eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left. Sound familiar? He said it before them, they ate and had some left according to the word of the Lord. John, we all go all the way back to 2 Kings, we see a parallel. Matthew tells the story, but in a different way, as I said. And I might add that when Matthew tells this story, he says 5,000 men, not including women and children. That's in the scripture, not including women and children. So let's just add and say maybe 10,000 or more were fed. That's a difference. Nevertheless, both gospel writers tell this story for a very specific reason, and it is not about miracles. So if it's not about miracles, what do you think it's about? They tell this story in a specific way, not to show miracles. Long before we get to this story in this gospel and in Matthew and in Luke, Jesus has already performed tons of miracles. So why would you want to do it again? Oh yeah, another miracle. Because that's not the point. That's not what they want our attention on. If we then turn our attention to the folks wanting to grab Jesus and make him king, and then Jesus slips away so they can't do it, we have point number two. Now, I know you hadn't figured out point number one, maybe. But we're going to go to point number two. Point number two, John is now saying Jesus didn't want to be an earthly king. He was too humble. He would have never done that. So we have a choice of either humbling ourselves or being humiliated. And Jesus humbled himself and made a quick exit because that's not what he was about. I'm going to tell you a story about an elderly man. This elderly man back in the day in his youth was great in track and field. He had trophies, plaques, awards all over his house that he had won. And one day he was asked to come and speak to some young athletes at a banquet. So he goes and he speaks. And when he finishes telling them about his greatness in track and field, they all stood and applauded. They cheered. And the elderly man felt loved and appreciated, probably a little too much. But he felt really good, and he felt like he was young again, and he felt like he was ready to go out and do it all over again. But what he told the young people as they came by and thanked him is, you know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start going to nursing homes and other retirement facilities, and I'm going to talk to people who will know me. Now, I can't go to a children's hospital because they wouldn't have a clue who I am, but I know the older folks, they'll know me. They'll know who I am. They'll know my accomplishments. So I'm going to spend the rest of my days speaking to people in my age group. Well, sure enough, he gets started. I mean, after all, he was the king of the 100-yard dash. He's got to tell people. He goes into the nursing home. He looks around, and he notices it's empty except for one little old lady in a wheelchair. She's sitting out in the middle of the hallway in her chair. And he thinks, this is it. He walks up, he leans down, and he says, ma'am, do you know who I am? And she looked at him with her pale blue eyes, and in a quivering voice, she replied, no, but if you go to the front desk, they'll tell you. You see, Jesus had no intention of going out and spreading who he is. He went out to tell people who God is. It wasn't about him. He humbled himself. He wanted people to know God, and he made that ministry so that they would. He was humble. What he did for his Father in heaven. Remember, Abraham never became a king. Moses never became a king. Neither Elijah or Elisha, who fed those 100 people, ever became a king. Because they didn't want to. It wasn't about their glory. It was about God's glory. And that's what Jesus was all about. Speaking to God's glory. Perhaps you're getting the picture now of what John wants us to see. Right? Remember? Let's go back to the beginning here. We got John. He's telling this story, but he doesn't tell it like Matthew. He goes along laying this out so that you and I we'll get the real message. Now, we're going to turn to your favorite part. I can tell most of you love this. We're going to talk about Jesus walking on water. And contrary to what he tells me, I don't think Jack walks on water, but who knows? This story is so important, and it's so important to John that he tells it in a completely different way than Matthew. Again, because he has a point to make. Matthew 14, 22 through 33, a long reading, but it'll bear out. Listen. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. None of that's in John. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land. For the wind was against them, and John, they rowed out. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea, but when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, and they said, it is a ghost. Not in John. And they cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Peter answered him. Now, folks, this is really important. Hang in there. This is important. You won't see it in John. Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Matthew takes us to the ultimate miracle of not only having Jesus walk on water, but bringing a disciple out of the boat so the disciple can walk on water too. Now, Matthew has a reason for that. But we don't hear that in John. Doesn't happen. Tells it a different way. But Peter says he did not recognize Jesus. All of them did. It's a ghost. Not so with John. This is brief, but listen, tell me what you hear that's different. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. No one told them to. Got into a boat and started across the sea to Capernaum. No Jesus. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, that's specific, they saw Jesus walking on the sea. They saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. Not because they thought it was a ghost. They saw Jesus walking on the sea. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, not get out and walk. And immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. He gets in the boat. It's almost like a motorboat. They're there. They rowed out. The wind didn't carry him out. The sea didn't carry him out like in Matthew. Why do they tell this story different? Because the gospel writers have different points they want to make. John calls our attention to Jesus' divinity. Notice the disciples are not confused about Jesus' identity, but how he was able to walk on water. That's what amazed them. They go, "How did he do that? He's walking on water." No one says, "Lord, if it is you." In fact, the disciples want to take him into the boat, not challenge him to make them walk on water. The disciples don't think Jesus is a ghost. John tells us they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, not a ghost. The fear, John tells us, is the disciples experiencing God. Now, folks, I think if any of us experienced God doing any miracle, and I think many of us have, sometimes it's frightening. Wow, how did that happen? That's amazing. God is amazing. You know, the disciples in John's story, well, and in Matthew, became believers real quick. That's pretty awesome the way that happened. But do you hear the difference? John points to Jesus feeding 5,000. Yeah, it's a miracle. John points to Jesus being humble, not wanting to be an earthly king. John points to Jesus being recognized as God by the disciples and displays their amazement at experiencing God, not experiencing a ghost coming to them. All three of these things are present in the Old Testament. Think about this. With Abraham, Moses, and Elisha, they performed miracles, they were humble, and those around them experienced God through them. They experienced God through them. And John says, without actually saying it, "Therefore, I submit to you, there is continuity in Christ our Savior. What happened in the old is happening in the new. It's just happening in a new way. The Son of God." Jesus is not out to be a star. He's out to save souls. He's out to let us know who His Heavenly Father is and what His Father can do for us. So think about this. When you're out there in the community, anywhere in this world, is it not incumbent upon us as Christians, as disciples of Christ, literally and figuratively, to let people know who God is, not who we are. It's not about us. It's about what we can do for God. And when we have ministries, we don't walk into Randy Sam's and say, "We're Central Christian Church, you ought to love us." We just go in and we feed them. And they thank us. Isn't that true, Jim? We get a lot of thanks. When we feed the people every Christmas, we don't stand up and tout ourselves, but we praise God that we're able to have a ministry. That is what we read in John. John says, understand, Jesus was about God, and I'm sending you the message to be about God. Because Christ has continuity from the beginning to the end. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we come knowing that sometimes we like to praise ourselves, talk about ourselves and the great ministries that we have. But Lord, we know that we are here for you, and we ask that you continue to fill us with your Spirit and remind us that we are to preach your word, to do your work, and to understand your will for each of us. Be with us, guide us, and fill us with your Spirit, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.